HD Smartcast. You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
In an August column, economist Kaushik Basu recounted a perhaps apocryphal story featuring the sitar maestro Pandit Ravi Shankar and the Nobel Prize-winning economist Amartya Sen. When both Shankar and Sen received the Bharat Ratna, a journalist is supposed to have asked Shankar, "Between the two of you, who is the more talented?" To this, Shankar is supposed to have replied, "Teach me economics for a week and ask me to give a lecture, I will manage it without making a fool of myself. Now, teach my friend Amartya to play the sitar for a week and ask him to give a public performance." This story offers an interesting perspective. When it comes to economics, everyone can have a view, and at the same time feel that their view is the right one. This is something that played out recently when the stock price of Netflix fell by more than 20%. On social media, everyone and their uncle explained where Netflix got its India strategy wrong. In this piece, I join the crowd. Why did this happen? The company ended 2021 with 222 million paid memberships or subscribers. In the 3 months ended 31st of December, the number of subscribers rose by 8.3 million from a year earlier. Analysts, according to Bloomberg data, had estimated Netflix to sign up 8.1 million subscribers. So, why did the stock price fall despite the company beating expectations? Any market discounts forward expectations or what it expects the company to do in the time to come. Netflix forecast that subscribers will go up by 2.5 million during January to March 2022 against 4 million in 2021. The market did not like this and hammered the stock price. Now, why is the increase in the number of subscribers such an important metric for Netflix? The company is already hitting a saturation point in a country like the US. Hence, the main way it can increase revenues in the US is by increasing the monthly subscription price, which it recently raised from $13.99 to $15.49. Given this, any further growth in the company's revenues will come from growing subscribers in markets outside the US, particularly in countries like India. The trouble is, the company's big bet on India hasn't paid off yet. The Campbell Soup Fallacy. Sometime in 2008, I had the pleasure of interviewing Pankaj Gamawat, then a professor at the Harvard Business School. Gamawat offered an interesting example of Campbell's Soup, an American company that entered China in 2007. China already has a very developed soup culture. And the general sense one gets is that this may not be the easiest product category for Campbell's to come and say, "Oh, lots of Chinese, sell them some of my tomato soup." Emphasis added, all the public communication around the China strategy was that there are lots of Chinese. This seemed to have been Netflix's strategy for India since its launch. I say this as an outsider. I wasn't there in the room when the decision to come to India was made. There are a lot of Indians. More than a billion. Close to 1.3 to 1.4 billion. There is a huge market waiting for us there. So, let's go to India. There are multiple problems with this reasoning. First and foremost, the fact that India isn't really one big market. There are multiple markets and markets within markets. India is not a single language market when it comes to the entertainment business. Also, not many Indians speak English. It is the first language of very few Indians. Netflix wasn't the first media company to have made this rather basic mistake. When Star TV first came to India in the early 1990s, they launched with a lot of English language content, which found a very limited audience, like my parents, who simply loved watching thrillers like Remington Steele and briefly soap operas like The Bold and the Beautiful. The cable TV audience started to pick up only when Zee TV was launched, in alliance with Star. Zee had Hindi language programming from the day it started. Star made the same mistake when it started Star Movies and Star News. The programming was all in English. A similar mistake was made first with MTV and later Channel V, both music channels. After a point when things with Zee didn't work out, Star decided to start dubbing English language serials in Hindi. So, there was a time when one could watch The Bold and the Beautiful in Hindi. Of course, it finally moved to full-fledged Hindi language programming and found its market, with the second coming of Amitabh Bachchan and the success of Kaun Banega Crorepati, KBC. Over the years, Star launched many channels in Indian languages, so did Zee and Sony and Colors and so on. They managed to tap into the 1.3 to 1.4 billion big Indian market, but one market at a time. How big is the Indian market? Just because India has 1.4 billion people doesn't mean that the market for any product is as big or even a small portion of it. A large part of Netflix programming continues to be in English and other languages not understood by most Indians. Rukmini S., writing in a May 2019 piece in The Mint, had pointed out that as per the census of 2011, English is just the 44th most widely spoken first language, even though it is the second most widely spoken second language. Other estimates suggest that around 6 to 10% of Indians can speak English. Let's say 10% of Indians speak English. At a population of 1.4 billion, this works out to 140 million. So, potentially Netflix, with its current content, can reach 140 million Indians. This might sound small compared to a population of 1.4 billion, but it's big when we consider the fact that the total population of the US is 330 million. And almost everyone in the US speaks English. But it's not just about the ability to speak and understand English. According to the Road Transport Yearbook of 2017-18 and 2018-19, India had 23 cars per 1,000 of the population in 2018. This means that only 2.3% of Indians had cars in 2018. Of course, there are individuals who own multiple cars. So, the percentage of the population who can afford cars is actually less than even 2.3%. Car sales have no direct link with the ability to become a Netflix subscriber, but this shows that the affordability of expensive things continues to be a challenge in India. For a long time, the most basic plan of Netflix was priced at around 6,000 rupees per year, 499 rupees per month, which was very expensive by Indian standards. In a recent earnings call, the Netflix boss Manreet Hastings said, "What's unique about India is cable is about $3 per month per household. Now compare this to the pricing of 499 rupees per month, which works out to around $6.70 per month, assuming $1 equals 75 rupees. Netflix's pricing was more than double the market price for cable TV. As Netflix said in its most recent letter to its shareholders, India is fairly unique because pay TV pricing is very low. The pricing led to a situation where Netflix's paid subscribers were just 5 million as of 31st of December. This is according to data from Media Partners Asia and shared by Vandana Kolikandekar in a December news report in the Business Standard. In comparison, Amazon Prime had 19 million subscribers, and Disney Plus Hotstar had 46 million. Clearly, the realization that they were outpricing themselves has happened at Netflix, and the company recently cut prices, with the price of a mobile plan being cut to 149 rupees per month and the basic plan to 199 rupees per month. Nonetheless, even after the price cut, Netflix continues to be more expensive than its competitors. Take the case of Disney Plus Hotstar. While its premium monthly plan costs 299 rupees, which is more expensive than that of Netflix's basic plan, but its super annual plan is at 899 rupees, which works out to half of Netflix's mobile plan of 149 rupees per month, or around 1,800 rupees per year. Other than the pricing, Disney Plus Hotstar has much more Indian content across different languages. On top of that, it also has the rights of the cricket played in India by the Indian cricket team in the IPL T20 tournament. This is something that Netflix cannot really compete with. When it comes to Amazon Prime, the monthly price of 179 rupees is somewhere in between the Netflix mobile plan and its basic plan. Nonetheless, its annual plan of 1,499 rupees works out to be cheaper than Netflix and comes with the added benefit of free delivery for all orders on Amazon.in, which is a huge attraction. All this goes back to the Maruti ad, which asks a very simple question, kitna yeli hai? India and Indians seek value for money every time they spend money on something, and Netflix simply doesn't provide that for most of us. Chetan Bhagat and George Orwell. Let's take a slight detour here and talk about Chetan Bhagat, the man many Indian intellectuals love to hate because he writes in simple English. As an outsider, Bhagat disrupted the Indian publishing industry like never before. The publishing industry working from their then South Delhi offices couldn't see a market beyond the small niche market of English literature, outside textbooks, that they were catering to. Bhagat single-handedly showed them that with the right pricing and simple writing and basic plotting, the market for books in English could be expanded multiple times over. Bhagat showed the fancy commissioning editors working for English language publishers that the people at large are not intellectuals, but that doesn't mean that they don't like to read something simple and basic that helps them unwind from time to time. In fact, this is a point that George Orwell made in a different context in an essay titled Propaganda and Demotic Speech, which is a part of a book titled All Art is Propaganda, where he writes that any speech or piece of writing aimed at a large public has to take the ignorance of the people into account. Therefore, it needs a popular and everyday language. Both Bhagat and Orwell arrived at the same conclusion differently and in very different contexts. Any form of mass communication needs to be simple enough for the average man to understand, irrespective of whether it is writing that wants to entertain or propaganda that intends to influence. There is something that Netflix can learn from this. As cliched as it sounds, they need mass market programming to get people on board, like Hotstar has cricket and Star Once Upon a Time had KBC. They need what film studios call tentpole films or summer blockbusters. The Akshay Kumar star Suryavanshi, directed by Rohit Shetty, was recently released on Netflix after its play in the theaters. How does this help? Mass market content helps to get more people onto the platform. Once they are onto the platform, they can sample more content, primarily the international content of Netflix. It's in a way similar to what Amazon did to build its business model. It first sold books to get people comfortable with the idea of buying books online. Once that happened, people gradually started buying other things as well. Along similar lines. Once people feel that there is enough good Indian content available on Netflix and subscribe to it, only then will they get around to sampling its massively impressive international content and help Netflix to get its long-tail strategy going. Of course, it's not like Netflix doesn't understand this. As Gregory K. Peters, Chief Operating Officer and Chief Product Officer, said in a recent earnings call, "We've been learning more about Indian consumers' tastes, etc. Obviously, at the core is the content and the range of programming that appeals to more people in India." Interestingly, Kapil Sharma's I'm Not Done Yet premieres on Netflix today. Also, the international content can be made more accessible by translating it into more Indian languages than just English and Hindi. Not enough of this is happening. Further, even when doing an edgy crime series, they need recognizable film stars like Raveena Tandon and Aran Yock. It just makes the decision to watch a series easier. Another factor that needs to be kept in mind is the complexity of the programs on offer. Many youngsters watch Netflix and other OTTs on their mobile phones, perhaps while traveling or even at home. Given this, there need to be enough programs where the storyline doesn't confuse and require 100% attention from the viewer. If Netflix wants to expand and tap the mass market, nuance and complexity across almost all programming aren't necessarily a good idea. So more of SaaS-PaaS then? This does not mean that Netflix should start serving SaaS-PaaS serials or singing programs with participants who, along with being good singers, also need to have a sob story as well. But the mass audience needs to relate to the programming on offer, which they don't do with something like The Crown, which is a great drama series. Nonetheless, How many Indians are interested in the British monarchy and really care about its shenanigans at the end of the day? Essentially, the audience needs new content which has already been made before. As Chip Heath and Carla Starr write in Making Numbers Count, the art and science of communicating numbers, the more a new fact connects with the existing network of associations in our brains, the more likely we are to remember it. One reason that something like Mirzapur, a fairly average series, worked for Amazon Prime is that gangsters are a genre that Indians are familiar with. Mirzapur was in a way like The Godfather but set in Uttar Pradesh. Interestingly, as Kohli Khandekar mentioned in a recent news report, of the top 15 series on OTTs, Netflix only had one, Coda Factory, Season 2, a story India could totally relate to. So, if the idea is to stretch the envelope, that needs to be done very slowly, and enough variety of different levels of programming needs to be on offer. All this has to happen if Netflix is looking at building a mass audience. If the idea is to stay niche, it already has all the characteristics. This niche will gradually expand as more Indians speak and understand English and, of course, earn more. Until then, the fortune, in India, as always, is at the bottom of the pyramid.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
HD Smartcast.